Good morning, one and all, and welcome back to the Damage Report with me, John Arola. It's a new week, but it's the same, still awesome, but same Francesca Fiorentini. Francesca, how's it going?
I haven't like emerged from a chrysalis weekend or anything. I wish.
Be very no mohawk, cool. No face no. Tattoos.
No.
Same, but that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, a minor trim of a haircut.
Okay. It looks cool. It's like what do they call that? Textured.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we don't have to talk about it. It's fine.
I think could we zoom in actually? Is that something that could we commandeer her camera?
If you have thoughts on my hair, like thoughts on John's hair, hey, how about not saying anything? I love when people email you and like, hi, I like your content. Do this to your hair. And you're like, hey, stranger, I don't know.
I'm gonna nuance that just for me, not for you. If it's positive, go right ahead.
If it's positive, it's fine. Anyway, good to be with you, John. Happy Monday, everybody.
It's good to have you here. There's a lot going on in the news, you know? Not all great. There's some baddies out there that we need to respond to. But thankfully, in this case, the baddies are so embarrassing and insane that I think they almost do our job for us. But that said, we're still gonna talk about it. So we're gonna have a Monday Menace for you coming up just a little bit later. We've got more corruption on the Supreme Court. And in this case, it might well incorporate all of them. Every one of them might be guilty. We've got an insane Jesus lady, a video that I have been sort of dreading talking about, but knowing that we have to engage with. And Rudy Giuliani decides, years and years after the fact, to admit to an insanely racist election ploy. So that's fun. All that's just in the first hour. We got more deranged right-wing boycotts coming up in the aftermath. Josh Hawley is here to save America's men and just in the nick of time. And we're gonna take stock of what might be coming for Tucker Carlson. Spoiler alert, money, apparently. Why not? He's awful. Why shouldn't he be rich beyond any of our wildest imaginations? Anyway, with all that said, please send us your comments, tweets, and super chats, and we can respond as we go. Prepare yourself too for our May Day special, which is coming up after the Young Turks later on today. Anna Kasparian, Nina Turner, Francesca Fiorentini, woo, and myself will be talking. It'll be good to get a chance to talk with Francesca. Because we don't get much of an opportunity.
Yeah, I haven't seen her lately. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in the top 10 list that we're gonna do after the show and the Bituation Room tomorrow. But other than that, we don't see each other. So it'll be good. Anyway, with that said, send us your comments, maybe get a Bloopin gift card. And now it's time to start off with, that most like uniquely American sort of daily news. A manhunt is currently still underway, at least as of when we're live, for the suspect in a mass shooting that claimed the lives of 5 people in Cleveland, Texas just a few days ago. Authorities say they have no leads effectively on the individual. Francisco Oropeza, 38-year-old, could be anywhere, they're saying, but they are offering now $80,000 in a reward. That number has been gradually increasing, might be even higher at this point. But we do have some details about the shooting. Some of this will be very familiar to people, you know, who follow American news. He's believed to have used an AR-15 to fire into a home to kill people after a disagreement about him shooting his gun in his yard. Family had asked him to stop doing that. Seems reasonable. I don't know why you'd be shooting your AR-15 just randomly in your yard. But he wanted to do that. And here is what happened. Wilson Garcia, the owner of the home that was shot at, says, "We were going to make something to eat. The guy came out and he was shooting. We asked him to be quiet because my baby was scared. None of that, of course, was enough to get this gun nut to stop randomly firing his assault rifle in a yard." Garcia said they warned Oropeza they would call the police if he did not stop shooting. And then he walked across the yard and shot Garcia's wife, Sonia Argentina Guzman, while she stood in the front door. Then he went room to room looking for people. 2 of the victims were found in a bedroom shielding 2 young children with their bodies. Those 2 children, along with a 3rd, were found covered in blood, but were not injured. And so it appears, at least as of right now, that their ultimate sacrifice did actually save the lives of those children, that they had to, as so many Americans now are forced to, attempt to use their bodies to shield children from the violence that our politicians will do nothing to stop. In any event, he had apparently been living next door to this home for 3 years. They had not had a problem previously. He had been drinking. I'm sure right wingers will lean into that as an explanation for why this person felt like, how dare you try to stop me from using my military weaponry whenever, wherever I want. But imagine if he hadn't had the gun. Again, like we're always told, you know, guns don't kill people, people kill people. But I don't think that if he had been just standing in his yard and they'd told him to stop singing or something, that he would have gone room to room beating people to death with his bare hands. I feel like the gun was important in this, but maybe I'm a radical. Francesca, what do you think?
I just can't, you know, it's so upsetting to hear these stories over and over again, and they are so sadly American. This is this country where parents are dying shielding their babies from some psycho with a gun over a very small random altercation. And that's it. None of these kids don't have parents anymore. And it's just another Monday in this country. And like what that feeling you feel is like the feeling between you want to cry and then your heart just kind of hardening to this disgusting reality. And what I think we really should do, take a beat and then get angry as hell. And that's what people all over this country from Tennessee to Texas, you know, have been doing. And we cannot become desensitized to this. You're absolutely right. This doesn't happen in any other country. The amount of bloodshed of young children is insane. The amount of small disagreements that get escalated. Yeah. Jordan Davis, 17-year-old shot in his car over loud music. Ralph Yarr, who got away with his life for ringing the wrong doorbell. I mean, when is it enough, right? And of course, there's the focus on the victims. Of course, there's a focus on the drinking and all that stuff. It doesn't matter, y'all. Let's focus back on these guns, these weapons of war. I just need to like do some Shiv Roy and just like, you know, have a cry time. I think we all just need cry time. Please book me the conference room, i.e. my closet, to get some cry time in.
Let's focus on the guns and how uniquely deadly they are, not just in their ability to kill people, but their ability to facilitate people choosing to kill people. Like I made the comparison there to obviously the guy was not going to run from room to room chopping people with his hands, obviously. But does anyone think that in those cases that you listed Ralph Yarl, we could talk about the woman who was shot in upstate Connecticut because they pulled into the wrong driveway, the cheerleaders who were killed in Texas. People get killed with other weapons, but does anyone think that in those cases, you pull your car in a driveway, the homeowner terrified at everything because of the years they've spent watching Fox News, was gonna pick up a knife and run out to the driveway, open the door and begin stabbing people? Does anyone think that? Mm-mm. Does anyone think that the cheerleaders would have been killed with a knife? Does anyone think any of this? No,
it's a coward's weapon.
It's easier to kill people.
It's a coward's weapon. I'm sorry, it's a coward's weapon. Also, let's be real. Guns are cowardly weapons because you're at a distance and you're just shooting randomly and you're with your crazy shaky hands and you're, I mean, look, that's what cops are. If cops actually went around with billy clubs, the way it used to be in the day, like we'll see who they decide to like, you know, run after and who they don't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it makes all of these men, 99 times out of 100,
say it,
feel like, oh, it'd be so easy. All I have to do is just do this. I just do this and I'm a big man. I just do this and I'm not scared anymore. I just do this and I'm young and virile again. That's all you have to do. And then all your problems are solved. And so they do it. And it's so easy and quick. It's not like thrusting a blade into a person, feeling the life drain out of their body. They're just over there. I just shoot them. I just shoot at them. The house. I just shoot at the house. Oh, there's a car. I'm scared of the car. The car is very scary. So I just shoot at the car.
Yeah.
Do we every single day another case like this where no one who is not, whose like reputation isn't based on gun nuts loving them or paycheck isn't written by the gun manufacturers can doubt that these would not happen if these individuals had not had guns? Guns do not make us safer, like the right wingers say. Guns take normal situations that would just pass and they turn them into tragedies. That's what they are designed to do. There's this awful tragic shooting in Texas. And Governor Greg Abbott, because he is the worst, decides to make it worse. It would seem difficult to do that, but he found a way. In announcing the initial reward they had to help track down this person who used their assault rifle to kill five people, he tweeted, "I've announced a $50,000 reward for info on the criminal who killed five illegal immigrants Friday." There's other text, but I think we'll stop there. He typed that out. He pressed send on that, and he thought, this is what I should send. First of all, it's factually incorrect. They were not undocumented. All five were not. It's just taking people that I guess he thinks are foreigners or whatever, and he's just like, oh, they're probably illegals, whatever. Who cares? That is what is screaming from this tweet. But he decided to send that out. Thankfully, there are reasonable politicians. Veronica Escobar says they were part of a family. One of the victims was a child. What a disgusting lack of compassion and humanity. Imagine someday if one of those kids who is alive only by the sacrifice of a person who used their body as a shield against those bullets finds out that the governor decided to smear like everyone who died, including those who had done something braver than any of these right wingers would ever do in their lives, is that's illegal immigrants, whatever. They're illegals. Who the hell cares? I mean, I guess we'll get the guy. He's a foreign national too. I guess we'll get him. But he just killed illegals, I suppose.
No, it's so it's also so sad because Abbott is doing what DeSantis is doing, and he's using this, the heinous murder of five family members, as a branding exercise. A racist branding exercise so he can be the more reprehensible governor in the United States. That's it. That's what this is. And it also says the second thing, which is, I believe in political violence. I want more political violence against undocumented people, against immigrants, against anyone who, you know, I don't know, speaks another language, against Latinos is totally fine, right? And it's at the same time when Latinos, Asian Americans are one of the fastest growing voter blocks in this country. So it's also sort of an admission that I can't actually win again, sort of through the vote, and especially, you know, as more and more Latinos are grown up, they're turning 18, they're gonna vote your ass out, and I can't win, so I will sick psychos on them. How about that? How about just that? And we've seen it before, right? The El Paso shooting, like how I just you have just imagine they're all white guys. Just imagine every single victim is white. Then what? And every single murderer is a woman. Then what? Oh my God, brain is on fire. Cannot compute.
Yeah, I don't know if everyone was trans, maybe they would care kind of a little bit. No, it's the perfect, everything that you just said, the input side, perfect for them. Just get people to constantly be scared, constantly afraid, and then get them to act out with deadly violence, which they would only do if they had guns. They're not gonna do this with other weapons. So you've given them the guns so they can act out violently, and then convince everyone to interpret each of these acts of violence as not a reason to be terrified of where we've gone as a society and how easy it is to get the guns, but a reason to get more. Mm-hmm. Every tragedy is a reason to arm yourself to make the next tragedy more likely to happen. It's a perfect circle that they've made for themselves there politically.
Congressman, getting back to when you were saying that Washington's not gonna fix this, a lot of people listen at home to that. And I mean, you like to speak plain English to folks. A lot of people listen to what you just said and said, wait a minute, it is your job to fix this. And it's unacceptable to have mass shooting after mass shooting after mass shooting. Why not fix this? Get together with the Democrats and get it done.
Well, it happens a lot, Jim. That was cut off a little bit. I was probably speaking more from a Christian perspective. I also went on and said, we need real revival in this country. I feel like we've turned from the Lord. And I know that maybe makes people's heads spin off sometimes when they hear somebody like that me say that.
Yeah, it kind of does. I can think of a few reasons. Perhaps we'll get into them. That's Representative Burchett being asked to respond to the most recent mass shooting. Or I should say the most recent mass shooting that made national news. There have probably been multiple mass shootings since then that didn't. That's what America is like. And he's immediately going to change the subject from the idea that the government, which is in charge, should do anything to stop these shootings. and immediately turned to the Christianity thing, which we're going to return to. But the reason he's being asked about that is, of course, he's the guy that sort of went viral in the aftermath of another recent mass shooting by saying, we're not going to fix this. And we didn't. So there was another mass shooting, and credit to him, he's being consistent. We're still not going to fix it. We're not even going to engage rhetorically seriously with the possibility that we might. We're just going to move on with our lives. We don't need more government. We need a Christian revival. Now, some of you in the audience might be thinking, well, wait, aren't we like a deeply Christian society? Aren't some of the areas where these mass shootings happening, including the most recent one, even more Christian? Well, those are great points. So let's see what he thinks about those.
It's just the
well, but there's Christianity in other countries and they don't have mass shootings.
Well, they don't have our freedom either. They don't have a Second Amendment that and also the you know, you want what happens
but what about
is
that
say,
point
we'll take away
it,
the
but what about that point that you should be the ones to fix it, to say, well, we're not going to fix anything here in Washington. Well, that's your job.
Okay. She broke over 20 laws. What law are you going to do? You know, now you have people that can print guns.
Okay, so the more you push him, the more he just moves from one excuse to not do anything to another. So, what are you going to do? What we really need is religion. And that's a convenient thing for a politician to say because it's not up to them. The revival is someone else's thing. So I've passed the buck entirely. I'm just going to go talk to my donors or whatever. So Acosta points out, well, we're super religious. We're super conservative, more than the vast majority of the world's surface. And so he immediately says, well, we have the freedoms. Well, hold up. What happened to the revival? Because we're super religious. That hasn't saved us. In fact, the religious areas seem to have more of the gun violence. You're retreating from that position mighty fast. And then he moves to, well, we just have our freedoms, which again, it's not on him, I suppose. Although, if he's saying we have the Second Amendment, he is implicitly saying that's why we have these mass shootings. Now, his interpretation of the Second Amendment is bizarrely radical and modern. The Second Amendment doesn't mean that you get to have AR-15s. That's not baked into the text. But again, all of this is, why would we ever have to do anything? And you're being like really impolite, Acosta. Like there was a shooting, and now you want me to have to defend the position that I hold that makes them almost inevitable? It's uncouth, Francesca.
Yes, I just all the things like, yeah, so do we have Christianity or do we not have Christianity? I mean, a couple things. What is freedom to you? Is freedom the ability to, you know, live next door to someone who isn't firing off an AR-15 and then when you mention something get murdered for it? Because that doesn't feel like freedom to me. Or is freedom just squarely within the drunk guy who wants to fire off an AR-15 and then murder his neighbors? And cool, fun, because I don't mess with that kind of freedom. And then secondly, and Acosta was hinting at this, sir, what do you think the job of an elected official is? Oh, wait. Well, you know, it's mostly a shell company to sort of enrich myself and my family vis-a-vis the NRA and gun manufacturers and any other dark money organizations who've made their money on fossil fuels wanna do. Oh, tight. Great. Now let's move on because we're gonna vote your ass out. Like seriously, this is how little accountability politicians have in this country. You know, it's just incredible. You know, we're supposed to be held accountable every time. Right, like someone from, well, not a Christian religion, but every time a Muslim does something wrong, every time a woman, every time a black person, every time a queer person, every time, a leftist, you must hold your entire group accountable as if you represented everyone. But politicians are never held accountable. When are you gonna be held accountable for the stuff you are not doing? Right, and so it's the most fragile, easy, phone-in position you can hold in this entire country, convinced. You will be held accountable more for getting the fries wrong at a McDonald's franchise than you will sitting as a congressperson.
Yeah, no accountability, no accountability whatsoever. And conveniently, in the same way that he is attempting to convince people to believe that the government has absolutely no role here, that's just the most recent iteration of the overall philosophy. They have trained their base to think the government can't do anything. Anything they do will be bad. They probably shouldn't do anything, except if there's anything they can do to attack all the different groups we've told you to be afraid of, fear, jealous of, then we should do stuff. Then we should definitely jump in and find some way to make our voices heard. But when it comes to trying to stop All these massacres, no, go talk to someone else. I don't know, a pastor or something. I don't know, Thomas Jefferson, just literally anyone else. Don't bother me with it. Okay, with that said, I wanna jump to just one more thing really fast. Amidst all of these tragedies, people being massacred with guns, we have another tradition in America, not just daily mass shootings, but politicians reassuring people whose entire personality is their gun, that they love guns just as much as them. And so Nikki Haley, who so far as I know, doesn't really have a history of anything like this, has to cosplay, has to do a bit of dress up. So here's what she tweeted out. Making sure our military has the equipment they need to keep us safe is a priority. Sig Sauer is keeping them on the cutting edge. Thank you for letting us check out the latest hashtag, live free or die. Now, we could potentially take issue with the fact that she's talking about a gun that a gun manufacturer is making for a military that she then immediately says hashtag live free or die, implying that you should live free or it's worth it to die. If you were to die, who is doing the killing if you're just trying to live free? Presumably the military. There's a bit of mixed messaging there. We need this gun for the military. Also, you should dream of the day that you get to turn this on our soldiers, but whatever. There she is posing with this machine gun. Now, she's very proud of herself for doing this little photo shoot. And even more so, look at that. She shot at the thing or whatever. There are a few problems with the photo. Ruben Gallego points out, why is your finger on the trigger? Again, there was bolt is clear back, there's no magazine. It's just a posed thing. It's not real, it's just a posed thing. Your Stockwell is gonna hurt you when that weapon kicks back. There's no point in pointing out of all of this stuff. But especially because Ruben Gallego, God forbid you make a mistake, which he apparently did. That particular weapon that they're working on is a belt fed machine gun. It doesn't take a regular magazine, although I believe most of them can take both. So I'm not even 100% sure that he was really wrong. But whatever, Deus says it's an XM250. Try actually doing some research next time. So let's say that Deus is right. And let's say that he was wrong about the magazine thing. He wasn't wrong about any other stuff. But does that seem to bother Deus that Nikki Haley is doing this completely? Like, if you're mad about people talking about guns, invoking guns and not knowing what they're talking about, why doesn't it bother you that the politicians are doing that? But it doesn't. And so she has reassured the base, Francesca. She loves guns just like them, I guess.
It's a club for nerds with small D's. You know what, like that's all it is. It's the lamest, saddest thing to geek over. It just is. And it makes you seem like a fragile dude when you know that much about guns. I'm assuming male, I'm sorry, right? Like hit me with Lord of the Rings, hit me with, you know, all kinds of Dungeons and Dragons, you know, hit me with, I don't know, if you speak Elven or any other language, you know, all that. That is so much manlier than if you're like, I'm into gear. Oh, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry that none of the like dick pumps worked out for you. I'm sorry. Just like.
Okay. So look, I will say I find guns to be interesting. I've shot many guns. My father owned guns. He was a hunter, whatever. But when you choose to make it I don't have a backbone. All I have is the barrel of an assault rifle surgically inserted into me so that I can hold myself upright. When you believe that the most important fight that a person can engage with is having access to whatever the next biggest gun is, then that I think becomes a problem. Like I don't have a problem with Dungeons and Dragons at all. But I guess if that was the only thing that you were and you started fights constantly about it and you were willing to let people be massacred on a daily basis so that you have access to the Dungeon Master's Guide, then I think it becomes a problem. Throwing in some Star Wars there. Oh my God. Do they have like a baby carriage that is Grogu's little like circular thing?
Cause they should. I mean, that's why I had kid. Like I wasn't gonna have a kid and then I started watching Mandalorian and I was like, well, now I need a baby Yoda.
Oh, I don't know if they have it, but if they do, I
the carrier, they definitely should have a carrier that's like Mando themed or.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Okay, well, we'll have more Grogu talk coming up soon. But first, let's see what's going on over on SCOTUS. with this.
No, just, you know what Justice Thomas did wrong? He's been one of the greatest Supreme Court justices ever to serve on the court. He has been a principled constitutionalist, and the left despises him. Democrats hate Justice Thomas, and they save a special degree of hate for him because he's a black man.
It's a bold claim in the wake of weeks of ever evolving and increasingly distressing news about the enthusiastic corruption that Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas has engaged in. I kind of feel like if people are criticizing him after the Harlan Crow stuff and the house being bought by the right-wing billionaire and the trips and the gifts and the fact that he lied about the guy having business before the court when it turns out that he did, I feel like if they're criticizing him now, it might have something to do with that and not just the race stuff. I can't vouch for any attacks against him a month ago, but I feel like now it's probably that. To be fair though, it's a senator. We should show the senator some respect. Here is him making the case.
And their view is that African American is not allowed to be a conservative, is not allowed to disagree with left-wing orthodoxy. You know, Justice Antonin Scalia, whom I knew well, was every bit as conservative as Justice Thomas. Mm-hmm. The left didn't heap that kind of contempt on Justice Scalia. Justice Thomas, they view as a traitor because he is African American and he's an extraordinary justice.
Okay, you'll notice that he is not citing specifics as to why Clarence Thomas is this amazing originalist or whatever. By the way, he's an active participant in destroying well-established, decades-old precedent. Get out of here with the nonsense about his supposed judicial philosophy. Clarence Thomas could have been a Republican congressman. Instead, he's a Supreme Court justice. He's a political hack either way. That's all it is. If law scholars want to make a case for why he stands out and is impressive in terms of being a justice, then I leave that challenge to them. But I would also say that if that's why we're attacking him, then why are we attacking Kavanaugh for all of his weird political stuff? The debt that was suddenly evaporated as soon as he got into office. Gorsuch, for instance, the land deal that he did. Those guys seem pretty white to me, and I feel like we're criticizing their corruption. What do you think, Francesca?
I just think it's sad, you know, that the woke mind virus has infected Senator Ted Cruz, who has spoken out about, in fact, has an entire book called Unwoke. And yet, even he is susceptible to seeing color, which is the first step in Marxism, as we all know. So that's very sad. It's just amazing, right? Like when the right wants to use race to make a point, they do. And when it doesn't work in their favor because of the way structural racism and white supremacy generally tend to work, they say it doesn't exist.
Yep.
But if they have to hold up someone like Clarence Thomas, who is insanely backwards and reactionary and an extremist, and his wife, of course they're gonna, oh, you don't like him because he's black. No, absolutely, yeah. That's not why. Yep. So yeah, and just like, yeah. It's incredibly rich that he's utilizing that. And it's so gross because it's like, he's basically saying like, no, Clarence Thomas is our pet. You know what I mean? He's our model minority, right? He's ours. We have him and Tim Scott and Candace Owens, and that's it.
Look, if he wants to try to make the case that people show insufficient respect to respected judges who are black, I would remind him, and I will remind all of you, of his interaction with soon to be at that point Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson in this video.
Thank you.
Do you agree with this book that is being taught with kids that babies are racist?
Senator, I do not believe that any child should be made to feel as though they are racist or though they are not valued or though they are less than, that they are victims, that they are oppressors. I don't believe in any of that.
So to be clear, If you point out that a Supreme Court justice receiving literally millions of dollars of financial benefits over the course of decades from a guy whose stated goal is to remake the American judiciary, you are racist. If instead you bring up this dumb book that she's never seen to say, oh yeah, you think even babies are racist because someone else wrote a book that you've never seen, is that right? Then that's not racist, that's just totally cool. What do you think?
I love this. This is a great moment in, I think, congressional history, Senate history, is just him showing like a different poses of himself, like racist baby, me, racist baby on my head, racist baby over here. Like, yeah, exactly. It's the grilling of Ketanji Brown Jackson was the most racist display we have ever seen. But again, it doesn't matter. Clarence Thomas is a tool, and look, he was bought by a billionaire to be a tool, and that's just what we know of. And of course, this week we know even more, which I know we'll get into.
Exactly. Yeah. No, he's not unique in that. Plenty of, like, the reason we're worried about Kavanaugh, this financial transactions, is because we worry about the corrosive impact of money on what the Supreme Court does. But he is one of those people. We're not going to pretend that he's not just because Ted Cruz thinks he's come up with a clever trick. That's not actually how that works. In any event, let's talk now about the Supreme Court in a bit more detail. Justice Samuel Alito believes that you are all being very unfair to the Supreme Court. All this investigations, all this research showing decades of corruption for Clarence Thomas and now Neil Gorsuch, and there's a lot of concerns out there. The fact that you're talking about it is unfair. He says practically nobody is defending us. That's literally a thing that a full-grown adult and member of the Supreme Court said. We're being hammered daily, and I think quite unfairly in a lot of instances, and nobody, practically nobody, is defending us. The idea has always been that judges are not supposed to respond to criticisms, but if the courts are being unfairly attacked, the organized bar will come to their defense. But if anything, they've participated to some degree in these attacks. Yes. We're not supposed to have to defend ourselves. We're certainly not supposed to have to actually submit to any sort of oversight, and we're not going to. All of them say there should be no investigation, there should be nothing, and that includes the supposed Democrat, nominated ones on the court. But we shouldn't defend ourselves. Every other aspiring judge, every lawyer, they're the ones who should defend us. Even as we're making the entire field look thoroughly corrupt.
Yep.
We're making them look bad.
Yep.
They should be defending us. And if you haven't been following this, you might wonder, why are they getting attacked so much? Well, we're not going to rehash all of what's already happened, but here's the newest revelations. Justices on the Supreme Court apparently benefited from lavish teaching trips funded by the conservative Antonin Scalia Law School at George Mason University, an interesting tie to what Ted Cruz was saying. The law school sent justices on trips to European tourist spots as part of teaching programs. So here are some of the trips. Neil Gorsuch got to go to Italy back in 2018, Iceland in 2021, where Elena Kagan joined him.
Uh-oh.
Interesting. Brett Kavanaugh taught in Runnymede, England in 2019. This is actually a way that they're able to make extra money, and they need to because they only make $280,000 a year for their part-time jobs that they have for life and can never lose, no matter how incompetent or biased they become. In addition to that, they get the flights, they get food, drink, accommodations, including nice countryside cottages. And in many cases, the teaching gigs are only technically teaching gigs. The actual amount of teaching they have to do is incredibly light. Most of the time they can knock it out in the morning, and then they're effectively just on a weeks or months long trip to another country. And by the way, not only do they get to go on like these sightseeing trips and everything, but their friends and colleagues are flown in to be guest speakers, and then they get to go with them gallivanting around the countryside. It's an amazing scam if you can get it. What do you think?
Yeah, but it's really difficult, John, to have like a job for life. You're like, oh my God, this is like life is so long. And like, what if you just want to do different things, like accept money here and there and like buy a nice Italian scarf when you want to? God, I don't want to legislate for the whole country. It's so hard to take away bodily autonomy from half the American population really, really hard for me. Like, this is so gross, right? Not only have these fools been groomed, you know, by the Heritage Foundation, by the other, you know, legal think tank, you know, by all of these organizations to basically undo all of our democratic voting rights, reproductive rights, civil rights. That's what they've been groomed to do. But now, that's not enough for them. You know, they have to like cash in on all of their power. And again, yeah, get money, sell their real estate, buy new properties,
yep,
go gallivanting around the world. And here's what I'm saying, like, say what you will about Amy Coney Barrett. I feel like she really is in it for the Christian nationalism. Like, I feel like Amy's like, oh, no. Exactly. No, I'm about the fundamentalism. Like, I'm about, like, you know, women mostly living in a room without any windows, you know, just like twiddling our thumbs and like quilting. You know, like that's, I feel like that's she's true. In it for the love of her hateful God.
Yeah, and it's, I don't think it's about like having a lifetime spot where you can rake it in. I think that she's in it to accomplish her ideological goals, and then she's gonna abdicate because women shouldn't be holding professional positions anyway.
Sure.
And then just go and, I don't know, cook or something. Like, that's what it sort of feels like at this point.
She'll just put, like, when her work is done, she'll just like put on a bonnet and just like, you know, sort of evaporate into it.
I hate it so much.
I hate it. I hate everything.
And again, it's not just the conservatives who are doing these trips at the very least. And think about like what a great plan it is on the part of the donors. Like, you can put all of this money into state representatives and congresspeople and senators and so many, or just take over the Supreme Court and then it doesn't matter what they pass. You just overturn it. It's amazing. And once you get them in that position, they're there for good. So it's a pretty amazing deal. Anyway, I'm having a little bit of trouble with my mic stand because I was getting a bit Italian in my hand motions. Anyway, we are running out of time. So we're gonna very quickly jump into this C block. Whenever we're ready, why don't we do this?
One of the big issues that we have heard today and we've talked about lately is that without surgery, the risk of suicide goes way up. Well, I am one of those parents who lived with a daughter who was suicidal for 3 years. Someone once asked me, wouldn't I just do anything to help save her? And I really had to think. And the answer was no.
Wow. That is Montana Representative Kerry Seekins Crow, found, I think, the only wrong answer to that question. Feel like it was an easy one. Would you do anything to save their life? Yes. Life is complex. Families are complex. I don't casually jump into judging people's decisions when it comes to their family. But the correct answer to that is yes, you would do anything. And all of this, this recounting of her own struggles, her family struggles, and we'll get into more of that, was designed to support a ban on gender-affirming care for trans kids. And what's amazing about this, as you watch more of this video, is she is talking about this difficult struggle that her and her family went through as a means to say, you and your family should not get to go through this struggle. You should be legally barred. I struggled with this and failed as a parent, but whatever, I got to struggle. You don't get to, it's illegal. You don't get to make the decisions. It's amazing. She doesn't even seem to understand that that's what she's doing. But take a look at a bit more.
I was not going to give in to her emotional manipulation because she was incapable of making those decisions and I had to make those decisions for her. I was not going to let her tear apart my family and I was not going to let her tear apart me because I had to be strong for her. I had to have a vision for her life when she had none, was incapable of having none.
What?
I mean, I kind of feel like maybe she did. I feel like your idea of you being strong is anything but. I think that actually listening, caring, I think that there are some other stuff, the other things that you could have prioritized. But Francesca, what do you think?
She just referred to her suicidal daughter as doing emotional manipulation. She's openly admitting that, like that she's saying that. That's so awful. Like, even if you thought that a little bit, you don't. You realize what that sounds like? You're just being dramatic. Oh God, you know, I'm gonna kill myself. Like, and okay, so that's over there. The second thing is, she's saying, I'd rather my child die than, and I'd rather your children die than get gender affirming care, than live their true selves as a trans person. That's what she's saying. And then finally, this doesn't surprise me, guys. We are talking every single day about gun violence and the lack of gun control, no matter how many children have to be murdered at the hands of psychopaths. Nothing ever changes. This is a death cult party. You think they care about gender affirming care? No. If her daughter was gunned down in a school, she would side with the gun. So why do we expect them to have empathy when it comes to trans people? They don't.
By the way, Blue Lizard Guts, thank you for the clarification. Unfortunately, I was getting all my information from the woman, which I should not have done, because look at her and her whole personality. Blue Lizard Guts is saying, I'm pretty sure the individual is actually her trans son, but we should use they pronouns until we are sure. That is a great point. Thank you for that. And again, like, I hate everything that was revealed about the effect that she had on her family. But beyond that, she is saying, I understand that people might be willing to take their own life, and I am going to legally bar parents from doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing. Contrast that to what we were talking about earlier in the show about their obligation to do anything about gun violence. Like, no, we're gonna step in and we're going to make it more likely that this happens.
Yes.
She got labeled by Forward Montana as the villain of the week over a previous bill, not about this specifically, but it was about an abortion related bill. And she responded with this: so many bills I sponsored from which to choose to give me the title, fighting against the unions in education, parents' rights, pro-life, again, pro-life she calls herself, you know who she is, pro-gun, pro-constitution. I love pro-life and pro-gun being mashed up right next to each other. That's amazing. You know, guns, those things that contribute to life. Revamping Judicial Standards Commission, carrying SB 99 in the House floor, ended up being my pro-life bill that got me the honor. And an honor it is. I'm still the original Republican gangster. Just a reminder of who she is. That's who she is. The original Republican gangster who wants to legally tie the hands of parents who are worried about their kids. Jesus.
That Karen went crazy in the Ann Taylor. Look at that. Look at that. That's just like the Karenicity of that photo. Can we just like look at that? This is like Barbie, midlife crisis Barbie right here.
More like causing a crisis for your family, Barbie.
Also that.
But okay, we're gonna take a break, everybody. When we come back, we got more. Agnostic Sister says, and do dishes too, John. I do dishes. I do dishes enthusiastically. And I just fixed our dishwasher. So I do dishes. I do dishes. Anyway, don't listen to the rumors to the contrary.
Cuck.
Okay. What are you, Josh Hawley? Anyway, we'll get to that. Okay, everybody. You know what? We cruise into the weekend hoping for the best, but sometimes menaces arise. We deal with them on Mondays. Take a look.
Here's what I found out this week. There is a website, you may or may not have heard about it, called Pornhub. It is a disgusting porn website. As a matter of fact, it should be illegal. I don't even know why it exists. But Hunter Biden used to have multiple accounts on this Pornhub pornography sex website. And these aren't accounts where he could go watch pornography. These are accounts where he posted his sex videos.
Oh.
Like the ones that are on the Hunter Biden laptop.
This is changing everything. She just found out about Pornhub. And I just found out from her finding out. And now we both know about it. And it does sound pretty crazy. These pornography, porn, sex websites, boning hump sites. She's like trying so hard to act like she has no idea what any of this. It's pornography. it's been around. You know what it is, Marjorie Greene, and you know why it's legal, and you know why it's popular. Now, you might not really understand, certainly the audience doesn't understand, I don't understand why she's so obsessed with what Hunter Biden might be doing on it. If Hunter Biden is watching people bone, if Hunter Biden is uploading video of him boning, that has nothing to do with anything. He's not in government. He's not a major business player. He's not on the campaign trail. He doesn't have anything to do with anything. He might as well be Barron Trump for all that his activities bear on Joe Biden. Francesca, I know that you're just finding out about this site right now, but what do you think?
Yeah, I'm first of all floored that it even exists, but they're so horny. They're so horny for Hunter. They are horny for Hunter. Like MAGA, Trump 2024, horny for Hunter 2024. That's all they are. That's all we see them as. Just like, it's so sad because if you're Hunter Biden, like you just wanna troll them incessantly. It's sad that he's the president's son, but it would be just so perfect for him to troll them with even more nudes and photos of themselves because they are obsessed with him and by proxy obsessed with Joe. Like just so hard up on both of them. Now, here's what I'm gonna say. Marjorie Greene, and this is, I know, if you're eating, just stop right now. She had an affair with a tantric sex guru in
That's
heavy
the
quotations.
Allegation. That's the allegation.
The allegation. My girl knows about the nasty. You know what I'm saying? She knows. And it's very hard to imagine or think about her, you know, in that situation.
Can you stop, please? I don't like it and I don't want it. So we're gonna get a little bit more from the representative and then we'll talk.
No.
This week I found out, you wanna know what? He still has an account on Pornhub where his videos are posted. It is still live and active. This is the son of the president of the United States.
Fraudulent.
Hunter Biden is the most disgusting, vile, embarrassment, piece of trash. And that is what is a reflection on our country.
And so, that is all, why he turns me on. He's a piece of trash and he treats me like a seagull.
No.
Picking at the trash.
No. She is watching his videos for hours.
Treat me like a trash rat, Hunter.
She knows everything about his activity purely for research purposes. I love the guy who's filming it who had to throw in fraudulent. Like he physically was incapable of hearing that Joe Biden was president. Right. When she's like, he still has an account. So what? It doesn't have anything to do with anything. Except that it kind of does. Not that he has it, nobody cares about that, but that she cares because everyone needs to understand. And for some of you who might be new to following American politics, you might have sort of absorbed over the years the idea that the right is interested in freedom. I want you to tell me, do you think that if you are legally barred from watching porn, which she wants you to be, do you have any freedom, honestly? If you're barred from that, I mean, look, there's already a lot of reasons to believe we have no freedom. You literally can't burn an herb and smoke it or whatever. I would argue you have no real freedom now, but they want it to be illegal for pornography to exist. And I also have to point out that while we're leftist or whatever, we don't like what she's saying, it is not just the left that's going to have a problem with this. Not only statistically, because according to the Journal of Economic Perspectives, states ranked by porn consumption show quite a bit of conservatives there. Utah's the most. Only Hawaii is getting blue state down and dirty. The rest of those are red states and they love them some porn. But beyond that, she's saying that because he had pornography, lascivious imagery out there, that he is a disgrace to the country. You know who else posed for nude photos? Former First Lady, Melania Trump. Is she saying that that is a disgrace to the Trump family because she had a modeling career? And I will also remind you, she groped a cardboard cutout of Trump live on stage. That's softcore pornography, and she did it very enthusiastically, and it's still up to this day. Anyway, with that said, that's all the time we have for the first hour of the show. Thank you, everyone. We got more to come in the aftermath, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.